Good evening, and welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program. I'm your host, David Kaczmar, coming to you live, as I do every Thursday night at 8 p.m. New York time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Tonight, we have a very interesting program with our special guest, Neil Killian, who's a recently authored book, Life Cycles, tells a fascinating observation about cycles that may be true to us all. Based with his many years of research and his professional background, in which he worked as a consultant, working with people for 18 years. He's also an advisor for Pricewaterhouse, a management consultant psychologist. He's made observations on thousands of clients that tend into his new theory of life cycles. His book, Life Cycles, has won two finalist awards in the USA Book News Contest, and it has an Amazon rating average of 4.5 stars. It's unique, entertaining, and it's evidence-based on Neil's blog at lifecycles-by-neil-killian.blogspot.com. Or you can do what I do. Just Google Neil's name, and you'll find his book, you'll find his two blogs, Neil Killian, and Killian is spelled K-I-L-L-I-O-N. So here tonight to tell us about his unique work on life cycles and cycles that are true in the lives of us all is our special guest calling in from Australia, his home, Neil Killian. Neil, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you joining us and telling us about your new book. It's certainly starting off very well. It's being very well received, and I think it's because it's something with which all of us can identify. Neil, would you tell us a little bit about how you came up with the theory that you put into this book for us to read?
Yes, thanks very much, David. The whole process of the theory of life cycles evolved over quite a large number of years, and it started off by accident. It was really in the course of my work in outplacement, where I was taking people who had been made redundant and were looking at new career paths and things like that. And I used to conduct a session where I asked them to tell me all about their careers and lives. And I had a couple of instruments that I used to use that helped mark a person's career stages as well as their career orientations. And I decided to match up a particular psychologist's theory on career stage, and his name was Daniel Levinson, and he wrote a book called The Seasons of Man's Life. He was actually the originator of the term midlife crisis. I had decided to see whether I could see case study evidence of his block of 5 years for the important stage of mid-career, that was between 35 and 40 approximately, and the type of case histories I was reviewing. Now, what I noted was that there was a lot bigger concentration on just one of those 5 years, that is the age of 36. And really, it was this central year that started the whole process in motion. Later on, I noted that there was a second year in which people had important life changes happening to them, and that was 12 years later at the age of 48. So I then had the genesis of a looking at life in 12-year chapters and those things ushering in new ages.
So is there a recurring pattern internal in our clockwork that is going on a 12-year cycle throughout our lives?
Yes, that's what my research would suggest to me. I took those basic findings. I then extrapolated it across people's entire lives, and I started to see changes, new directions and eras happening even from the age of 12, that was the first opportunity to study. Childhood years to 24, the first adult year of change, then 36, 48, and so on through 60 and 72. I noticed that there were two important years within that 12-year cycle. That is the first year, and those are obviously 12, 36, 48, etc. This year I gave the name the Year of Revolution because that's precisely what I saw happening in people's lives. It was like a new chapter where a fate takes a hand. We're not totally in control of some of these events. And then 7 years later into the cycle, I noticed a second year that marked a challenge and direction change in people's lives. So perhaps not as significant as the first year, but it was quite telling nonetheless. So that equates to the ages of 7, 19, 31, 43 and 55. So from that, I was able to develop like a template that you could lay over a person's life and see whether you could come up with matching biographical evidence that would support the notion of important change occurring within people's lives. And I've devoted, obviously, a great part of the first book. I've devoted many, many case histories on my blog and e-zine articles to going through such a wide variety of cases, because to put forward a hypothesis like this, you would expect to be challenged. You would expect people to say, well, that might be all very well for perhaps that one case, but you know, surely you can't apply that to everyone.
Well, you observed this while working as managing director for Pauline Hyten Associates for some 18 years, where you were an outplacement and career transition services person, and you also worked as a recruitment consultant for Pricewaterhouse. So this observation was not something that was extrapolated from just a couple of casual observations. It was your work. It was your observations of many people over two decades.
Well, that's quite right. A lot of those cases, though, were ones that I couldn't really talk about because they were given on a confidential basis in discussions and to educate people about the importance of the 12-year cycles, I really had to go to more famous people or people who are mentioned in the news who had a public profile so that I could give them data that everyone could readily see represented these.
You have. You've got famous people that we all know, from Bogie, from Spencer Tracy, from Hepburn, and a lot of stars, some of the stars of today, which is a great way for all of us to have a common frame of reference. And it works. This is a universal pattern that's going on here that you outline.
Yes, there's so many, many cases. If I could just mention a couple of high-profile ones that I talk about in my new book, The Life Cycles Revolution, where I have a very detailed look at the lives of a couple of very big names, Albert Einstein and Mohandas Gandhi. And if you look at just those particular cases for their important midlife age, 36, a year of revolution, in the case of Albert Einstein, it was the general theory of relativity was first put forward. The final evidence for that didn't happen when a group of scientists confirmed it a couple of years later, but this was the year in which Albert Einstein first wrote about and put forward his theory of relativity. And the same for Gandhi. It was in his age 36 midlife year of revolution that he had the first public use of the non-violent protest that goes under the name Satyagraha, and this was enshrined as the birth of the civil rights movement, and it celebrated its centenary recently and led on to Gandhi being called the man of the millennium. So I have many different highlights from people of that ilk, of people who were in the worlds of entertainment, the worlds of sports, because I'm a very keen sportsman myself, and at the age of 24, for example, correlates with obvious high spots in everyone from people like Tiger Woods and David Beckham, and recently the Novak Djokovic winning Wimbledon, and many, many others. So this evidence then builds layer upon layer to show that the chance of it occurring simply randomly is almost astronomical. I mean, if I'm able to go to one of these high-profile figures, and sometimes the reason I go is because they're in the news. I mean, when Djokovic won Wimbledon, I thought, well, why not? Why not have a look at his profile? Or when there was an issue recently with Tiger Woods and David Beckham both being 36, I thought, you know, let's have a look at their profiles. So it's that notion of going to it. Now, if I can then find clear matches at age 7, age 12, age 19, age 24, as representing particular high spots and sometimes difficulties, obviously the challenge year, the broken pathways year, does represent challenges for people. In fact, the way that I term it is it's almost like a metaphorical mountain that people have to climb during those times. Good highlight instance of that would be the world-famous cricketer Sachin Tendulkar, who had a tennis elbow injury which caused his whole career to implode during his age 31 year of broken pathways, and he used to, as he said, pray every day that he was be able to get this mended and return to his sport, which ultimately was overcome, but the return to form took quite a number of years. So this is a sort of process that I look for happening when I study people's lives.
So you found a common underlying thread in the lives of people that you knew personally for 20 years and found it replete among public figures that we know, revealing that there's something common to us all. And not only is there an overall 12-year cycle, but you've identified some of the stages within it significantly at 5 years past the beginning point of a new cycle, 7 years past the beginning point of a new cycle. And you found consistencies there, whether you're in the first 12 years of life or you're 24 to 36, 36 to 48, 48 to 60, and on. And you know what's interesting about this being replete through people's lives? I had the privilege of meeting you in person last month when you were traveling to New York, and I came up to New York, and we spent an afternoon together. So as we spoke, I had the privilege of hearing the fascinating details of this theory, and I'd like our listeners to know that I posed a challenge to you in that conversation, and I said, okay, Neil, if your theory is true, what about me? I began my work on cycles that led to the theory of Kala rhythms, K-A-L-A rhythms, which became my life's work leading up to this radio program, Cycles Radio, The Cycles of Change. And I said, Neil, I first discovered this work in 1978. When was I born? So you just looked at me for a second, and then you said, well, you were either born in 1954 or 1955, depending on what month you were born. And Neil, I was born in 1954. You're absolutely right. I was 24 years old when I began the discovery that led to my life's journey and is the turning point of my life, the prelude to this interview. So once again, it held true. Apparently, this is a common thread through us all.
Yes, David, thanks very much for mentioning that, because I feel I use the phrase, it's a bit like standing at the edge of a cliff when I have these type of discussions with people, because I really don't know what I'm going to come up with next. And in the early days when I used to do this research before I got the first book together, I thought, well, look, I'm either going to have to pack up and go home with this if I can't find enough evidence, or I'm going to be able to push forward and carry on. And what really confirmed things for me was when I first went through a list of major historical figures starting with the Greek philosopher Aristotle and working right up to Hitler and JFK, to see what I could come up with in each of those cases in the very big names. And really every single one that I studied, I was able to find reasonable evidence. I mean, it was just there waiting to be uncovered. Sometimes it amazes me that I'm the first person to really see this and write about it in any sort of coherent way, that because some of this evidence is really quite stark. Yes, I mean, for me it matters as much to talk to people that I recently would meet, such as yourself, and be able to say what my theory is, say what I'm all about, and then have them confirm, hopefully, some aspect from their own lives. And that happened to me most recently on the same journey. After New York, I went back to my son's home in Chicago. I went to a party to celebrate his birthday. I talked to a couple of guests at that party who I'd never met before, said what I was all about, and then asked them what happened. One chap said he was 41 years of age. I said, tell me what happened to you 5 years ago. And he said, oh, 5 years ago, that would be about the biggest year in my life. That was when I changed jobs, changed locations, was more settled in my direction, et cetera, et cetera. So these sort of things are confirmed to me all the time. And I'm just as interested to discover what somebody I meet for the first time as I am to uncover what I did recently, that I can easily pitch my theory against some of the founding fathers in the US with George Washington and Jefferson and Franklin, as I can with Barack Obama and George Bush and JFK, Richard Nixon, etc., all of whom, to some extent, I have written about.
Well, your theory seems to stand up when put it to the test, and you're giving us details to it. You mentioned an interesting thing. Once you see it, how could this not been seen before, and why is it not so obvious? But that's the thing about the invisible. When you don't see it, and because it's all around us, we're in it. John Lennon said, life is what happens to you, we're busy making plans. And when you're in the moving ambient motion of rhythm, it's hard to see it from an outside point of view. That's why someone said, whoever discovered water certainly wasn't the fish. But then you see it, and then you cannot dismiss it. You cannot look at the situation without seeing. So I ask everyone, take the 12-year cycle challenge. Think back. What happened to you, not only at 12, but what happened to you when you were 24 years old, 36 years old, 48, 60, 72, and 84, and so forth? Many years ago, Gail Sheehy wrote a book called Passages, and she spoke about the different stages that go on in our lives, but she didn't identify it as a specific cycle of time. She was merely describing the transitions and emotional impact without pinpointing when it would happen. But I think you're giving us a little bit of mathematics that seems to be consistent in the 12-year cycle.
Yes, David, if I could mention here an interesting anecdote from my side, because when I wrote the first book, I was merely content to pick up things which were obviously mentioned in career highlights about people. When I wrote the second book, I decided to go a bit deeper into my analysis, and the results I've found from this are really quite astonishing, because with life cycles, it's a reflective process, and I'm sure that's why it hasn't really been looked at a whole lot, because most people look forward in their lives. They're not necessarily always looking backwards, unless there's some particular celebration or change, like a move to retirement or promotion or something like that, that might cause them to reflect a little bit. But with life cycles, it allows you to set up almost an exact hypothesis. Now, the beginning of the process was when I took my favourite teaching example, and that's Emperor Napoleon and his life. And I decided to look a bit more closely at this age 36 process of revolution and, as I call it, bursting onto the scene with your mid-career identity. And I found that there were two parts of this process. And the first part I could almost equate with being like the death of the former cycle, and the second one like the birth of the new cycle. Because anyone who's a Napoleon scholar will know that in the year 1805, Napoleon suffered his worst ever defeat with the Battle of Trafalgar, when he lost 22 out of 33 ships, and the British under Nelson didn't lose a single ship. And he tried to keep that news secret in Paris for quite some time. He was very embarrassed about it. And that seemed to be a really low point for him. And then it was only about 6 or 7 weeks later that he had his greatest ever victory. And that was at the Battle of Austerlitz, where he defeated the combined armies of Austria and Russia in one day. It was probably stands as the greatest ever military victory of all time. Now, that process was something where he went from being at a very low point to bursting through to one of his highest points. The interesting thing is you can measure that both subjectively and objectively, because all history scholars would agree the importance of the Battle of Austerlitz. And also Napoleon rated it the proudest moment of his career, so we can take two bits of information. Now, what I did was project backwards in time to when Napoleon was 24, and I can assure listeners this was a blind test. I was unaware of what I'd find. And I went back to 1893 at exactly the same points of the year, in fact, between September and December in that year. And I found the first thing that was mentioned under a career summary was something called the Siege of Toulon. Now, in the Siege of Toulon, it was the opening days of the new French Republic. There was a lot of pressure put out by Royalists and Jacobins to try and win back control. They had support by the British and the Spanish, who were blockading the port of Toulon. And they'd set up a fort that was fairly difficult to succumb. Now, this would have meant the end of the French Republic had they not been able to win this particular battle. Napoleon then was only a young artillery major. But because of a plan he came up with, a way to demolish the fort, wasn't properly implemented by the commander, who was really only a civilian who was put in charge, it failed. And it failed at almost exactly the same time as the Battle of Trafalgar happened. So we're looking again at that same low point, like almost the death of the old cycle, at not just the same year, but the same month, and perhaps not the same day, but very close to it. Then Napoleon wrote to Paris, headquarters, asking for a military man to be put in charge, a general to lead things, and then in late November this happened, and as soon as this new commander saw Napoleon's plan, he decided to put it into action straight away. The guns were set up in the right way, and then at almost the same time as the Battle of Austerlitz happened, the fort was demolished. That fort was rebuilt, called Little Gibraltar by the British. So we have almost a precise repetition of the same two events 12 years apart.
Point out that while it's the death of one cycle, it's the birth of the next one. C.S. Lewis said that in the end is my beginning. And this touches on a very important point. It seems that when a new cycle begins, you have the birth pang. an era ends, a new one begins, but it usually begins with a crisis. It's sort of a fractal relationship there. But if there are birth pangs to a new era, does that mean that when we go through a midlife crisis, or we go through a crisis of one sort, where we just totally feel upset and we don't really understand why? Could it be, Neil, that we're simply going through the death of one 12-year cycle and the birth of a new 12-year cycle, and that you have to have a transitional crisis in order to give birth to a new spring? Does that happen to us, Neil? Does that explain how we feel?
Yes, David. That would be very close to what my evidence suggests, that the events that happen in this year of revolution are unsettling to us. They're often things where we feel out of control about the way our lives are heading. Sometimes our own actions and responses are very key to determining just how much success we might have, but in most cases that I look at, there's no good reason for us not to follow through with things that could have a positive outcome. However, I also study cases of criminal behaviour and other things, and it can also coincide with times when people are caught, brought to justice, and or commit dreadful crimes. But generally, this process of revolution in our lives is one that we don't like, because we're mostly creatures of comfort. But my supposition is that this new age which comes upon us is there for a positive reason. It's there to give us a new challenge and a new chapter in our lives. And I suppose the area with life cycles where I take it one step further is once I've gathered data on all the events that take place in a person's years of revolution, I then look for a common theme that might occur. Now, this could be fairly broad brush, because we might be looking for a particular personality trait or a particular type of response. Now, if you just took those two events that I quoted you with Napoleon at 24, and by the way, I didn't mention that he was promoted to be a brigadier general at the end of that war, so, you know, the escalation in his career was rapid. You're looking at overcoming obstacles that are to do with poor commanders versus his military strategic skills in order to achieve the victory. So what happened to him at 24 and what happened to him at 36 are elements of exactly the same thing. So this is what I contend with life cycles, that it's a true cycle theory. I also contend that other people who've put forward theories to do with blocks of time, such as Rudolf Steiner, the psychologist, did, where he's looking at seven-year blocks of development, and also Erik Erikson, who had eight stages of psychological conflict that go throughout life, are more stage theories, because they're talking about a non-repeatable either psychological conflict or a process of development that will take us through from birth to, you know, if we're lucky, into old age. But with life cycles, I'm saying this is a true cycle theory. We actually have a similarity between these chapters in our lives that are sometimes uncomfortable when they're ushered in. And I look then also at the commonality between the years of broken pathways. I look at the challenges inherent at 19 and 31 and 43, etc. And I was easily able to do that again with Napoleon when, at age of 43, that was when he marched into to Russia with a disastrous campaign, you know, after 7 years of ruling Europe. And then I cast back when he was 31 and discovered this was when the most dangerous of all the threats to his life happened with the infernal machine plot, and that killed a lot of people, but luckily Napoleon escaped. But in both instances, there's threats to the safety of the empire that he came to control, or personal threats to his life concerned him. So then what I do is work these two themes together to form what I call the life script of that person. So I then say what one phrase, a little bit like an editor seeking a headline for a newspaper, what one phrase will encapsulate what that person is all about. And so the fullest examination I do with life cycles is to take every what I call significant years, because those ones that I'm talking about, revolution and broken pathways, are the most significant years. Look at the themes and then develop the life script, unique for every person. And this says that the 12-year cycle is exactly the same cycle. So I have developed a somewhat radical view of time, because what I say is that we are really only ever in one of 12 years. The full theory of life cycles gives a name to each of the 12 years. I haven't got the time really to go into it in our discussion today, but it will allow people to answer the question of how old am I? Not by saying, yes, well, I'm currently 24 or 36 or 43, but simply saying, because it is a true cycle, I am in my year of revolution, or I'm in my year of broken pathways.
And it's amazing how you're applying theory into practice, because you're looking at the internal clockwork of us all, but making it unique to the personal's experience. I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Cycles of Change radio program. We're speaking with Neil Killian, K-I-L-L-I-O-N, and his wonderful new book, Life Cycles, talking about primarily a traveler's cycle that is replete through life. It is common to us all. Find his book. If you Google his name, look for it on Amazon. There's a lot of books on Amazon named Life Cycles. You want the one by Neil Killian. So, Neil, as we go through and we look, perhaps if we were to understand that there's more than just looking at the surface of life, we tend to attribute cause and effect in sequence that will say, well, this is happening because of the circumstances around that we're influencing it. Well, yeah, that's true. There is action, reaction, response as a universal principle. However, at the same time, there is a deeper element layered within from the internal clockwork of our lives. And if we understood where we were in that, while applying where we are internally to the context of where we are with now, we might realize that, well, this is a time when we could have a crisis in decision. So shall I say, when in doubt, attack, or should I rethink the strategy, or am I reacting to a situation rather than responding to it? Let me see what time it is on the 12-year clock. Neil, could that prevent a lot of disastrous decisions if we merely realize that we are influencing the results merely by being an observer, and we're going to observe, we have to look at ourselves as well as the situation that we're in, and this 12-year cycle might give us insight into that?
Yes, David, that's exactly right. What I say, sometimes we can't avoid things. We have almost a date with destiny during this time, or certainly my evidence would say, based on many, many thousands of cases, that this is so. But having knowledge that it's meant to be the birth of a new era, and it's meant to be a positive outcome for the great majority of us, should keep you level-headed and balanced during these periods. It will also be seen by most people as representing opportunities, and you just never know when these opportunities might arise. I've often noted that sometimes it's people who might be tangential to our lives who actually are the ones to provide a little bit of input or guidance that somehow gets us started in this new direction, or we might see a business opportunity or some key client relationship might evolve. That these things are things that people can be watching out for. Now, I have the same sort of integration of time notion with life cycles that I say is worthwhile for everyone to try and employ. That is, if you're able to look back over the course of your life, you're able to see the similarities in the themes of your years of revolution or broken pathways, then you're able to integrate all of those elements of things in your past with what is happening to you currently. In other words, if in the Napoleon example he was aware, which I'm sure he never would have been, of what happened to him at 24, he would be able to see that the difficulties he faced and overcame were in fact another variation of what he was trying to desperately overcome this time around. And so for all of us, we're able to integrate time if we search back and see what we did 12 years ago. Now, it's a process that has never before been put forward. I'm the first person to use terms like that I use. I'm the first person to apply this process of life analysis in this way. I would mention that to listeners. This hasn't come out of any other body of knowledge. I'm not saying that it's due to some link between numbers or the outside influence of planets or any other systems. It's really simply to do with the evidence itself. So by casting your mind back 12 years and sometimes 12 years before that, you're able to see a similarity in where you've been. What I ask people to do is not think of their lives as if they're on a conveyor belt, conventional way to do it, which is to say, okay, I'm at birth, I'm now on the conveyor belt, going through the stages of development to my demise, whenever that might be, but rather that I'm a passenger on a very special train. And this train is set up just for me. I sit in front in the first class carriage and I go around a 12-year circular track. And that stops at two stations during its 12-year journey. It has 10 other stations, by the by, but it stops at only two, Revolution Place and the Broken Pathways station. And having completed this journey, I undertake the same journey again. So this would give people access to all the combined information of what went before, as to understand what is happening currently and what may transpire in the recent future. In other words, if I'm age 35 and I'm 1 year shy of going into my important age 36 year, the fact that I seem to be comfortable, that I seem to have achieved quite a bit in terms of my lifestyle and goals, but still perhaps am wanting more, am searching for more, then I would be aware of where I was at 23, 1 year shy of being 24, and in the same position, and knowing that much is about to happen to me in 12 months' time. So I'm able to get this way a unique perspective on understanding, reacting to things. I maintain everyone has free will at all times, and we can choose to follow one path or choose to reject it. But often there has to be a good reason to reject it. In fact, one of my favourite anecdotes here was a story where a friend of mine who was an actor recounted to me that during his age 36 year, he was in fact approached to have a walk-on part in a Hollywood movie. But he thought twice because he lived here in Sydney, Australia, and he didn't want to take his family and relocate over there and the disruption to the kids' schooling and all of that. So for a variety of reasons, he knocked back the offer. And then, almost as if it was to say, fate is knocking upon your door again, it was only a matter of a couple of weeks later, he was given a second call about a walk-on part in a movie to be shot in England. And anyway, that one didn't transpire either. And after that, there were no further calls. So it's also a lesson to us to maximise the opportunities that might happen in these key years. If you look recently at some of the politician story, you'll see that age of 43 is sometimes a key year for the broken pathways year in terms of perhaps either assuming office like David Cameron did or Tony Blair did, you know, to be the two youngest prime ministers. Or it's an opportunity with Barack Obama. He went to your, he became a national congressman during that time. And so if you understand the process of the challenge and the direction change, you should appreciate that when you're age 42, you might say to yourself, well, I can't be doing what I'm doing any better. Things are going along smoothly. But if you understand that at the age of 43, you could be handed a challenge that says you're never going to return to that former role that you held again. Because after all, if you get the top job, there's no going back.
So things never look better than when you're at the top of the Ferris wheel. But if you realize that you're not on a linear escalator, but you're on something that turns around, you're going to realize that there's a timetable in our lives and not be quite so caught unawares, perhaps.
That's right. That's right. It will give you a way of having a helicopter view, to use that phrase, of your entire life, being able to sit in judgment over what you see happening. And I've made myself a participant observer in this whole process. I've used myself as a guinea pig, and in my soon-to-be-published book, The Life Cycles Revolution, I devote a whole chapter to the fact that I said, well, look, I must be the first person to take myself right through a year of revolution and examine what happens to me during that time. I don't want to second guess it. I want to be as surprised as anyone else as I go through it. And I want to see whether I really had any control over some of those events.
And events are unique because history repeats, doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes.
Yeah, well, that's right. It rhymes all right. And what I'll do, and I won't give the details away because, you know, I'm sure some of the listeners might like to read through a life that is perhaps not as high profile as others, but I can give it to you from its most unique and fullest perspective, that these events not only happened to the year, not only to the month, but to the day, to the very day, between at least 3 years of revolution that I'm able to pinpoint. So what I'm all about is timing. I'm all about life having an inbuilt timetable. Destiny has a calendar, as it were.
Destiny has the calendar. I like that.
I'm not saying important events and faithful changes don't happen in other years. They do. I'm not so dogmatic as to say you can readily put everything just into this framework. Otherwise, I'm sure somebody might have stumbled upon the obviousness of it by now. But it's that if you look at the entire course of your life, and we took you because you were able to quote to the listeners how it worked for you in terms of your life's work with colorithms. You're also able to easily tell me about age 36 major change and age 48 major change in your life. So that there's many times that you can use this process to better understand what is happening to you at every turn that you go through. I use the phrase living in superconsciousness. Now, I know superconsciousness applies mostly in the setting of yoga, where people are looking at altered states and chanting and doing things like that. But a very simple form of meditation with life cycles is to be able to think back and relive some of those early events and experience the same emotions that you went through, and therefore to expand your consciousness to include all of that material as to where you are now.
So with a bit of reflection, we'll realize that time is not linear. We tend to have a view of history in the West that time is linear, but not so in the East. In ancient Sanskrit, they talk about kalpa, which are cycles. They talk about kala, which is time, mahakala, which is transcendent time. And in kala, they talk about all the cycles within. And the ancient Chinese developed a 12-year calendar where they identified each year with a different animal, whether it's the year of the snake, the rat, the year of the horse. I was born with the year of the horse. This is something that has been recognized, that there are cycles in our lives, there are cycles in the world, and that there are different stages each year within the 12-year cycle has a particular characteristic. But your work, Neil, is unique in that you're really applying it in a way that isn't metaphorical, isn't so abstract. It's detailed based on your many years of observation and putting yourself as an example, looking at the examples of others that we all know and the people that you know. These are common elements within us. So there is a cycle in our lives. Destiny does have a calendar. If we look back with reflection, we'll have a deeper understanding that not everything around us is happening by its own volition. It's being influenced by each of us that has an internal clockwork. Would you say that's true, Neil?
Yes, absolutely, David. I was just going to add that I do what I do because I'm very concerned to be able to produce evidence that is credible to a skeptic, to a person who would take a scientific view on the one hand or a critical view on another, would not accept most notions of symbolic relationships or things which cannot easily be proven. I want to be a genuine bridge between all that many things which can't be proven in the metaphysical realm and that which science tends to find acceptable. Now, I know I'm not totally objective enough for science because I know I'm guilty of subjectively looking at those years for my evidence and seeing whether I can, make a coherent story out of it. However, a lot of my evidence is so straightforward, it has such strong face validity because the facts match the theory in an unequivocal way, that I'd be very happy to be examined scientifically. What I want to do is to open up the notion that I have here something which is a genuine bridge between the scientific and the metaphysical. And I do that by looking at the most mundane material of all, what actually happens. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not into making unprovable hypotheses, but yet I hold myself up on occasions to some of the most rigorous testing imaginable, because I'm able to set up exact hypotheses about what might have happened and see how what sort of a match I can get. So I really have a message for everyone who's listening out there, that there is a new way to view your life, and this 12-year cycle has a lot of statistical material to support it. It is different to all other theories because I don't posit any rationale for it. I don't know what causes it myself. I only know that I have good evidence to support it. So that way I want to be as credible or acceptable to the widest possible audience.
And it's a good balance that went into this work. There is a new way that we can look at ourselves. You've identified the manifestations of energy, and you've taken the anecdotal evidence of our lives to look for those manifestations. And that's where the proof is in the pudding, as it were. So any abstract theory is only good when we can see it manifest. So you balance between looking at it subjectively with people and objectively through science. Well, science is considered a system of exact measurement, whereas the study of psychology, for instance, is considered a pseudoscience because you cannot exactly measure a person's thoughts, their feelings, and their experiences. Yet, psychology is worldly accepted as a true study in itself, because obviously it is real. So where we get into conflicts between science, psychology, science, religion, and so forth, but when you can take an abstract theory and find time and time again, there is a consistency in the patterns of our lives, then they become, how did I not see this before, once you realize it. And through years, nay, decades of work, and putting this very sensible approach to looking at the invisible as it manifests in everything that we see, I think you've struck that balance. In Sanskrit, they say that from the unmanifest comes the manifest. And in the process, Neil, I think you've shown us a little key in the patterns that are underlying all of our lives.
Yes, and I have one final anecdote that I'd like to share with people, and that's the fact that you and I had a really good discussion over lunch. In fact, at the diner in which we talked, I think they were going to throw us out. We'd almost overstayed our welcome. But at one point I told you that not only do I have this radical new view of time to say I'm in one of the 12 years, but that if I do a final reduction on my theory, I look at 12 years as representing almost like one symbolic day, in as much as the first 6 years of the cycle see us undertaking an unbroken section of forward momentum with the theme that we're handed, and the remaining 6 years, beginning with the year just before the year of Broken Pathways, see us almost dealing with the consequences of all that unbroken momentum and facing the challenge, the uphill struggle on the metaphorical mountain to resolve to end the 12-year cycle. And that, to my way of thinking, equating with the natural world most closely with the cycle of day and night. And you said to me, and this was really a gobsmacking moment, I've got to say, that your own theory views 12 years as being one day.
One day in the world, and this goes back to my work that originated in the 1970s, that there are cycles, tides in the affairs of man, cycles in every nation, and they're internal, they're a clockwork that begin at the birth of the nation. Just as we have 12-year cycles in our lives beginning at our birth. So we have cycles within us, the nations we create, have cycles within them. And there's another level beyond that. Every nation is part of the global community, and the global community has cycles too, even greater. They last for hundreds of years. An emotional cycle, 336 years long. A physical cycle, 336 years long. An emotional cycle, 432 years long. And an intellectual cycle, 528 years long. These are moving throughout world cycles. Now, but what happens when there's a critical crossover day, when there is the end of one cycle and the beginning of a new one? We're in one of those right now. Have you heard about 9/11? Have you heard about the housing collapses in 2008, government prices falling, the banking collapses and all of that? Don't worry, folks. This is just the birth pangs of a new era. How long does it last? 12 years. Because before I had the privilege of meeting you, Neil, I observed that a day in the world, and this is a quote from Collins, a day in the world lasts 12 years. And then you observe that 12 years is like a day in our lives. It's a fractal relationship. And you're finding fractals within that, because just as there's night and day in a 24-hour period, there's a night and day in the six-year halves of a 12-year cycle. So there are these universal patterns replete on all scales, great and small. And when you unlock the patterns of how patterns themselves replicate, then the complex becomes simple, because simplicity breeds complexity. And then once you see it, it becomes clear. And how much clearer it is to understand the patterns of our lives when we understand that we're just not in a linear cause and effect path from cradle to grave, but that we're going through an internal clockwork that we can understand in part because of your work, your new book, Life Cycles. Very excited about this book. And I think it's something that we can all understand.
Yes, look, I think I've got a message that anyone can pick up, anyone who likes reading about other people's lives, you know, everyone from Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga to Albert Einstein and Genghis Khan are in there. And there's a message for everyone about how this can benefit you in your life. I've got a whole chapter that's specifically to do with how it can help you in your relationships, and I have a whole new approach to relationships, as well as in your career, as well as in how you can counsel others. So life cycles can be used in terms of a different philosophy on your life and a way to live it on a daily and weekly and monthly basis. So there'll be at least 40 terms used in the book that people have never seen before, but all of them are explained to be useful to them.
Well, that is helpful to a lot of people. You know, the people who feel misunderstood, they feel alienated, separation is an illusion, they turn to drugs, they join gangs just to have a sense of belonging somewhere because they feel out of place where they are. Well, why do we feel out of place? Why do we feel misunderstood? Why do we live lives of quiet desperation sometimes? It's because judging the world by what's on the surface and not realizing that some of the things we feel, some of the things we think, they are indeed justified. There's a Jonathan Livingston Seagull within all of us. We want to fly higher and further. And sometimes we can do that by going inward more and deeper, understanding the cycles of life within us. Neil, I really appreciate you sharing your time here, calling from Sydney, Australia, and your work on the 12-year cycles in our lives is something that I invite everybody to ask. Where were you 12 years ago? Where are you in the different stages of your life? And compare it and reflect back and be a little bit more responsive and, you know, less reactive and be able to have a deeper understanding of that. Thanks for the work. Neil, thank you so much for being with us here this evening.
David, it's been an absolute pleasure, and you know, I hope I've inspired a few discussions around the dinner table in a few different quarters.
I think you've spawned some new cycles. Life Cycles by Neil Killian. Google him, look for his blog, look for his book. Thank you for listening to Cycles of Pain. Change Radio Program, blogtalkradio.com/cycles, where you can listen to us live and also hear archives of this and other shows. I'm David Katzmeyer, your host.